Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight America. Got one more hour left here in good old St. Louis. Keep seeing on the televisions, the news networks talking about the royal wedding, which is it this week, the royal wedding? Let's see what the report is. The father of the bride continues to grab the spotlight. Oh, isn't that something? Looks like everyone's got their problems. It's my wedding. I can do what I want. And they're caring about the father of the bride right now. Because why not? It's such a big profile thing. There was another story I found at KMOX.com. Missouri named number one puppy mill state for the sixth straight year. Can I read you some of the things that they found at some of these puppy mills? I don't necessarily need to tell you exactly where they're located, but let's just say they're all in Missouri. A massive operation with more than 400 dogs had repeated issues with veterinary care. 26 dogs were thin, with ribs showing, noticeable waste, muscle atrophy, inadequate and unsafe housing. Another one said puppies' feces were matted into their fur and their cages. Other ones, breeders were permanently, severely matted dogs. One dog was so matted the breed was unrecognizable, and the dog also had lice. You know, real terrible conditions that these animals are kept in. You hear them about dogs with frozen water. They had been licking solid blocks of ice trying to get moisture when there was, you know, when it was really cold out. Internet sellers have been cited by state inspectors for poor conditions, dogs with diarrhea, hair loss, and fleas, and all of these things. And you can just go down the list and you can see all the terrible conditions these dogs are kept alive in. And Missouri has the most puppy mills listed by the Humane Society of the United States in their horrible 100 report for the sixth year in a row. The report found 23 puppy mills in Missouri. They feel a lot of it has to do with its central location in the U.S. and transporters and brokers set up shop here. So, gateway to the West, center part of America, right there. Unfortunately, they look at that as another opportunity, too. You know, it's really terrible. And when you hear stories about, like, human trafficking in different places, you'd be surprised where some of these things happen. I remember when I was living in Indiana and the Super Bowl came around, one of the biggest concerns of Indianapolis was because of the child in human trafficking. They use big events like the Super Bowl, where police are worried about the safety of the event, and they figure out all the resources are being diverted somewhere else, so this is my time to traffic people. It's really, really terrible. Over a 12-month period, they say that they published a report. USDA inspectors continue to find conditions just as horrific as those in prior reports, so things don't get all that better. Again, this is what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you are looking for a pet, please go find a shelter animal. Do that first. I tell you that they understand that they're being saved. I don't know how to explain it, but once they've been inside of a shelter, it depends how long, if they were in there for a couple weeks, if they're in there for a couple years, if it's a no-kill shelter. They know when they got something good, and they are appreciative. They, for whatever reason, in the back of their mind, show you extra love. I don't know how they do it. They just do. But these animals, there's so many great animals that are abandoned or found or lost or whatever it is that these shelters take care of. There's huge advantages to them because these shelters do take care of these animals. They make sure they're up to date before adoption when it comes to a lot of their shots and things. You know that they've been inspected. You know that they're in good health if they're being adopted out. You also know a couple of other things. You know that they need a home. These puppy mills are specifically spurring out these animals, and unfortunately, people keep going to them. That's the reason they do it. Don't support these things. You gotta go to shelters. Go to shelters if you're looking for an animal. and, you know, let these rescues commandeer these animals from these puppy mills or bring them back to health. Don't you support puppy mills, period. And just the name puppy mill by itself makes me shiver a little bit. Ooh, don't like it one bit. Don't even like it a little bit. So if you want to read about some of these conditions that these animals are living in, KMOX.com, they look at all these offenders, a lot of them repeat offenders, filthy conditions, and, you know, if it's so bad that they are underweight with hair loss and lice and discharge from their eyes and ears, and you can't tell what type of dog they are, you can't even tell what breed they are, they're in such terrible shape, I can't imagine you walking into one of these places and saying to myself, I want to support what these people are doing. So that's at KMOX.com. You know, I want to talk more about this Greitens thing. There was an article from Politico. GOP Golden Boy Mails It In. What a great title. Let's get to that up next on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Well, how about this? Marjorie calling in about Governor Greitens in Columbia. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I did some looking up into Eric Greitens' background, even though I'm in Illinois and I know he is Missouri governor. Mm-hmm. He has accomplished so much in his little 44 years of life.
Mm-hmm.
He has. I don't know. I was amazed at looking at his bio. He was a Rhodes Scholar. Mm-hmm. He was a Truman University Scholar. His major was ethics and philosophy. He has a doctorate in philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
He's served, in the military, graduated from the Naval Academy, 17 years of service there, written 4 books, some of which I'm sure is a collection of photographs, I believe. Then he did the business with the children from Rwanda and Bosnia,
mm-hmm.
getting things for them. He got an award from President George W. Bush
mm-hmm.
for a Congressional award for that.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing what he has done.
Yeah, he had quite a resume.
They're attacking him. And the area of which he is the strongest, ethics and philosophy, is amazing to me.
Well, there's reasons why they're attacking him, and there's a lot of criticism going his way, and it's not necessarily unwarranted. There's some pretty serious allegations against him right now.
Well, this is true, and it's unfortunate that he got involved with that woman. If anybody's name should be revealed, she should. She, as a woman, I'm going to tell you something. Women have the controlling part of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Our thermostats are set a lot lower than men's are. And you get a man with his head in the bowl with his head being washed, you can get him pretty excited if you want to.
Well, Marjorie, one of the things you mentioned was the ethics side of it. It should probably point out that he is also accused of lying to the ethics committee. And that's pretty easy to point out because he did sign a document with some things that were untrue on there.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, that's one of the things, but that's only a misdemeanor. There was a couple of felony accusations against him, one of which the charges were just dropped. That was the privacy invasion one. But the other one, he happens to be with his charity, The Mission Continues, and using the donor list inappropriately.
So, yeah, if in fact it was an inappropriate use, in other words, let me put it this way, if he knew the people anyway, and then maybe a secretary, somebody let him have that use just list just to look up telephone numbers.
Yeah, but
he was the
person that found it, and I guess he was a big person that put a lot of these donors together. But after he left the charity, they voluntarily gave it to him. So it wasn't like asking a secretary that used to work there to sneak it out. They voluntarily gave it to him, but of course they were not authorizing him to use it in the way he used it, and that's where the big conflict comes from.
Oh, I see. Well, I do know that he served 1 year, I believe, without pay, and then he did get, I believe it was $131,000, but they checked that, and it was within the limits of what it should have been.
Hmm.
Later, they gave him that. But I don't know. I think the man has accomplished a tremendous amount.
No, he has.
I truly do.
You know,
he's so talented.
Yeah, the sad thing is it could be a lot of wasted potential. If these things are true and they're continuing in the House to figure out if they are true, it could lead to him being impeached, which could be lead to him getting kicked out of office. It's unfortunate because there's such potential there.
Oh, yeah. And the thing of it is, he's probably the best governor they've had in a long time.
Mm, okay.
You know, when you think about it, as far as his qualities, his qualifications are concerned. But more than that, how many of those questions and how, you know, you look at these questions and they're like diamonds. They're many facets. And you answer them, you're answering maybe one facet, but they can take it for another.
Yeah. No, I guess. I mean, words can be taken out of context or the intentions of the words you're saying misused. I understand that.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know the specifics, but
yeah.
I'm just saying this man is a talented man.
Yeah, but there hasn't
and
been anything.
Hold on to him.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything from his end. He hasn't really spoke about this. I mean, he's only really given one statement back in like February or whatever it was. And, you know, he never testified. He never spoke under oath because it never got that far in the courts. And he never talked to the House committee that were putting these reports together. So, I mean, if there's none of his words that were taken out of context right now, it's never really gotten to that point with him.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, there was something that he didn't answer correctly. I'm not sure.
Oh, it was the it was the ethics committee. So they have to sign this document, and a lot of times, I'm pretty sure this is the same document. But when you run for a political office, you have to sign documents for the ethics committee to make sure you're doing things on the up and up. And there were some things on there that he signed off that he wasn't doing that he should have been doing, and you know, or vice versa.
Oh.
So when he signed that document, knowing that he wasn't doing everything that the committee was requiring you to do, then that's technically lying to the ethics committee, and
that's not good. With somebody with the studies that he has, he should never have done that.
Should have known better. Yeah, or maybe he didn't think he was doing was wrong. Who knows?
No.
All right, Marjorie. Hey, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome, and thank you for listening to me.
Good hearing from you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I like that we have people that are staying up late in their homes, have the radios on. And I like that I'm a part of some people's lives. Marjorie, thank you. I wanted to talk more about Governor Grimes, and we did this a little bit earlier, but I think it's important, too. I have a new philosophy. I have a new theory on what's going on with Kim Gardner, and I want to share that with you because she's in some serious trouble. In fact, I think she's going to be in more trouble than the governor. And the reason I say that is because I still think the best move for the governor is to step aside and say, you know, I've decided to resign and to take a couple of years with my family, and maybe I'll spend some more time doing this or that, whatever it is. And then come back in 2020 when Donald Trump wins the presidency again, and he'll go and work in the White House somewhere. He'll accept some position there because he'll be able to say, you know, I resigned, but I was never found guilty of any crimes. You know, even if he were to do this right now and they just end this impeachment proceeding and these any other reports that may be coming out, he'll be cutting his losses because he still has a very bright future from everything he's put out before. So, you know, if for whatever reason you could say, let's save the city and let's save the state some time and resources, let's just call it all off and you get what you want, I'll resign. I think that would be a great compromise to prevent any other charges that may be coming up. But again, I don't know if he'll do that. No idea. It's hard to tell what his intentions are. Really hard to tell. Maybe he'll wait and see if he gets impeached on Friday. It's not going to be happening that quick. But let's say the House gets together and they open up these proceedings and they start looking into it. Well, you know, what if they say, well, we don't think it rises to that level, so everything's all hunky-dory. He just continues on, and maybe he tries to play the odds that the prosecutors and Kim Gardner are so incompetent that they wouldn't be able to put a good case together the second time around. Who knows? Maybe he plays that card. It's really hard to tell. I mean, really, the house of cards right now, the cards are all in the house's hands to figure this out. But the big part on the big next step, though, is the defense team for Governor Greitens. All kinds of different accusations, like Greitens' lawyers are asking police to investigate the St. Louis prosecutor's office. You can find this at KMOX.com. Days after Missouri Governor Eric Greitens walked away from criminal case because the charges were dropped, his lawyers are asking the city police to investigate the prosecutor's handling of the case, which they should. Defense Attorney Ed Dowd filed a report with police listing possible criminal wrongdoings with the prosecutor's office in the privacy case, the invasion of privacy case. I think they do need to look into this, and police are taking it seriously. They also want to look into William Tisby, who refused to testify in a deposition about his alleged perjury. Now, keep in mind the investigator that they hired from Michigan, who said he had a perfect memory, had no need and didn't write down notes of a deposition of a tape that was mysteriously couldn't be recovered. Then all of a sudden it could be recovered. It was amazing how that worked out. Isn't that great about technology? Just one day it doesn't work, and the next day it's just poof, magically appears. And it just so happens to appear right before this House report was going to come out originally, with the testimony from the ex-lover and the ex-husband of the lover and the friends of the mistress, things like that. You know, this thing's just magically appear, and then they hold on to it until after the report comes out. Oh, crazy how that works out. You know, they just didn't get around to it. They were just so backlogged. They weren't able to comply with these court orders. But yes, it showed him taking notes when he testified that no, he wasn't taking notes. So instead of sharing those notes with the defense, because they had the right to see those things, they withheld them, and not looking good for the prosecutor's office. So they're going to look into this private investigator, William Tisby. Greitens' legal team also wants police to investigate the $100,000 in cash payments made to a lawyer for the ex-husband of Greitens' former lover. Yes, please look into it. Wouldn't that be hilarious if there was some tax fraud that went on too? Isn't that weird? You just show up with 50 grand in cash or whatever the total was. It's not looking good. Here's what I'm starting to think could be my conspiracy theory. And it's probably not even a conspiracy. What if when it came to Kim Gardner, she knew this was a losing case, and the only reason she brought it up is because it would lead to some sort of impeachment hearing. She thought the best way to get the governor out of office, it's not going to be through this trial because I'm not going to be able to get a guilty plea. But boy, if we bring all this doubt around and we get people talking about him in this negative way, and we get the House to investigate and do other things, and we get these other people around to say something, that's our best chance to get him out. Could it be possible that the prosecutor here in St. Louis, Kim Gardner, took that strategy? It's not about finding him guilty in court. It's about getting him impeached and kicked out of office. It's about tarnishing his name. It's about politics. And you may be thinking, okay, what proof is there? You know, why wouldn't she use every power disposed to her in order to get Governor Greitens? We're finding out, too, that she was allocated an extra $500,000, which she didn't spend on prosecutors in order to keep these other caseloads up. Okay. I mean, that might just show she was incompetent. Okay. Whatever. But how do you account for the amount of donations she got from George Soros over the years? We're not talking about chump change. She was getting tons of money from George Soros. What was that money for? Could it be possible one of the leftist-leaning donors in the country may have seen an opportunity to get rid of this governor, may have found a way to play politics through the government by donating money to Kim Gardner directly? To me, it makes sense. I think there could be a pretty big possibility that the game plan all along wasn't to find him guilty in a court of law. It was to get him to the point where he could be kicked out of office. You know what? If she did that, maybe I should take back my words of saying she's incompetent. She may be terrible at her job, but she's very good at playing politics. This is Overnight America, Camo X. You know, and it's not just Governor Greitens that's having trouble with the way the prosecuting team is handling things and the city prosecutor. It is also a lot of people in politics. I mean, Elliot Davis did a great job. I wanted to play this from Fox 2, speaking about what it's like being a public defender in St. Louis. Could you imagine? You're trying to defend someone. They're stuck in jail. They're waiting for their chance at trial, and you're trying to get some basic information from the prosecuting office, and they're nowhere to be seen.
The public defender also joining the list of those concerned. The head of the office, Mary Fox, filed a complaint with the court saying some defendants are sitting in jail longer because her office can't get the evidence it's entitled to in a timely manner from the circuit attorney. Information they should be getting in weeks, taking months. She's asking the court to make Gartner comply with the law and provide information in a timely manner. Fox says in her court papers, appropriate sanctions may include a continuance of a trial setting, exclusion of a witness, or dismissal of the case.
Could you imagine? You know, you're trying to defend these people. You're a public defender. You're no appreciation for you whatsoever. You got a hard enough job, and the prosecuting office will not turn over things that they should have turned over. Things that should take a week or two are taking months. They're in way over their head. Here is Elliot also spoke with Lewis Reed.
Board President Lewis Reed says the circuit attorney, Kim Gartner, asked for more money to deal with crime. So Alderman gave her office $390,000 last July. $145,000 of it was to help crime victims and provide money for witness protection. There was also money to turn people away from crime who were on the wrong road and money for community engagement.
Did the circuit attorney's office tell you they didn't have the money to do all these things?
Circuit attorney said that they did not have the funding in place to be able to properly carry out the victim services unit, create the victim services unit, have it fully funded, the witness protection program, the community outreach specialist, none of those things, which is why we put Board Bill 93 in place to address those issues.
Do you know if the circuit attorney has spent this money as promised?
I do not know at this point. If I could not tell you at this point that she's spent that money as advertised.
Terrible. I love Elliot Davis. He does an excellent job over at Fox 2. So how is this money being spent? We do know that there's a lot of people having issues with the prosecuting office. They really fumbled through here. They really showed how difficult it is to work with them. They showed that they have a hard time complying with the law. They have a track record of messing things up. Kim Gartner, I don't understand how she can continue to keep the post she's at. And who knows, maybe there'll be other charges brought up against her if there's anything inappropriate on her behalf. I mean, we're hearing that she's been told to get a good lawyer. So there is a story in the Politico website, politico.com. It's called "The GOP Golden Boy Mails It In." As GOP Representative Ann Wagner prepared to introduce candidates in a Republican Senate debate here Friday, she took a pointed jab at one contender who didn't make it, frontrunner Josh Hawley. Of course, guy's missing, man. And, you know, the great thing about this article is that there's a lot of quotes from Mark Reardon. Like, here's a quote. "I've been personally baffled and disappointed that the guy I've had on my show numerous times over the last 4 years and have been supportive of is MIA. Mark Reardon, a veteran conservative radio host in St. Louis, whose program Hawley has shunned in recent months, said in an interview, quote, I'm frustrated. It's pretty good, Mark. I like seeing KMOX stuff in national news. That is really cool. The scene, widespread concerns of Hawley, starstruck Senate Republican leaders anointed the 38-year-old Stanford and Yale-educated state attorney general as their top recruit in 2018, squeaky clean figure they saw as the future of the party and an ideal opponent to take on incumbent Senator Claire McCaskill. Now, you knew for a while there that they were looking at Representative Ann Wagner. I think a lot of people were surprised when she decided not to run. An early Friday afternoon, late September, Hawley was photographed buying wine, again, in the afternoon. Yeah, you know, you're on the job, you're on the clock, you're working. That's the time to go buy wine, right? Hopping into the liquor store real quick. On a Wednesday, late November, Hawley posted on Instagram a video of himself lifting weights. Then earlier this year, a fellow gym goer snapped a series of pictures of Hawley pumping iron in the middle of a workday. All right, so he takes his lunch break to go to the gym. I don't know. I can't fault him too much for that because I don't know what the purpose is, but it's a little bit weird, right? You'd think that your schedule would permit you certain times to go work out. Middle of the day to go buy wine and work out, that's a little weird too, though. So apparently Ann Wagner said in this article she received two voicemails from Hawley since July, and they were never actually spoken, according to two people with knowledge of the interactions. On Friday, Mark Reardon used his afternoon drive time show to poke Hawley, asking when the candidates would start campaigning, quote, more publicly. And earlier this month, Reardon, while in Louisville, during the Kentucky Derby, spoke with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell about Missouri politics in the Senate race. The talk show host Warren McConnell and McCaskill is a tenacious competitor, not to be taken lightly. Organizers at the Lincoln Day dinner didn't really have much luck. You know, that kind of prompted someone that I like, Austin Peterson, to put out a political ad with Josh Hawley missing. Here's the ad Austin put out online.
Did you know that Josh Hawley was more than happy to take $50,000 of campaign money from Eric Greitens? But once Greitens got in the way of him climbing the political ladder, he threw him under the bus. So here's the good news. If you like your attorney general, you can keep him. I'm challenging Attorney General Josh Hawley to a Republican primary debate. So far, he's refused. What's the matter, Josh? You chicken?
They got these holding up the chicken here.
And I approve this message.
All right, tell me that's not funny. So he posted this video online. I don't know if he's actually spending time spending money to put this up on television programs or whatever, but still, that's pretty good. In the spirit of primaries, you should be doing at least one debate, at least one debate. So organizers of the Christian County Lincoln Day dinner didn't have any luck getting a hold of him showing up. He kind of sporadic showing in and out. You know, they do mention Austin Peterson, and they say for the most part that, well, I don't know, he's pretty much of a long shot. Which still, I like him. He's the guy I like. I would say that he would be a great candidate for Senate here in Missouri. And he ran as a Libertarian in 2016, now running as a Republican. And you heard in that digital video he posted, the live chicken right there, calling him out. So here we are. Apparently, they continue to point out in this article that Josh Hawley was kind of pressured into going. He didn't really want to run for Senate, but they thought he had the best odds of doing it. So maybe that's why he feels he doesn't want to be in the limelight. He hasn't raised a ton of money. He's raised $3.2 million, which is more, I guess, than Austin Peterson still. But that's still a lot lower than Claire McCaskill, who is expected to raise over $25 million when all is said and done. Josh Hawley, his goal is at about $12 million, but he does have this going for him. He's not Claire McCaskill. And when they do a lot of these polling, he's looking really good. However, I think if you were to look at the candidates based on their merit, candidates as candidates, I still like Austin. But the problem is, if you can't get Hawley to come out and talk, he's not accessible. How do you know? Do we really want to just put someone in based on their political affiliation? And I thought we were moving past that. That's just disappointing. So GOP Golden Boy mails it in. I love that title. And Politico. You can find that one there. This was posted yesterday, so this one came out a little bit yesterday. You can just Google it real quick, GOP Golden Boy. It doesn't look good. They post photos of him at the gym, too. I was talking to some people in the newsroom. Some of these photos of him in the gym are pretty funny. Him spending more time on his phone than working out. Now, I shouldn't be making fun of him working out. We're not making fun of that. It's just, it's weird that while he's on the job, during the regular workday, going out into the gym in doing this sort of thing. I guess teach their own. I mean, you got to have time to exercise, and maybe that's the best time in his schedule. Either that, or he just really is like, I don't care. I'm either getting this or I'm not. It's Overnight America, Camo Act. Got a message from Clavin, who's texting in. Why do people trip off that? Referring to Josh Hawley working out during the day. At least he's not in a bar somewhere actively drinking or something, soliciting sexual favors down an alley. He's doing something positive with his time. Yeah, I know. I don't think you should give a hard time about a guy working out. The thing is, during the work day, it's a little bit weird. When you're in a high profile position like that, you normally don't have time to just sneak out and go to the gym, do you? Unless you're slacking off. You're the attorney general of the state. I mean, what are you doing with your time where you have the ability to sneak off during office hours? It's not like, you know, it's regular office job and you're like, okay, you can just do whatever you want for this hour lunch break. So I'm going to go sneak off. No, it's man, when you're at a high profile, high pressure job, you don't necessarily get a lot of time to do something like that. I think that's where most people are looking at it. What is he doing that he can, or what is he not doing that gives him an opening to go and work out? But then again, I wish I was working out. Maybe in between the breaks, I'll run upstairs to our gym that's here in the building, Park Pacific building, and I'll just go get a quick workout in there. So there's something that was posted online that I thought was pretty interesting. It's something that is dividing the internet yet again. There's a sometimes people will see, oh, this is a blue dress, or no, this is a gray dress. And some people will see it one way and other people will see it the other. And you'll say, how don't understand how the other people will see it a certain way. There's an internet debate about an audio clip. It's called an audio illusion that has the internet divided. And some people very clearly hear it saying Laurel. And other people very clearly hear it say Yanny. And you may think to yourself, how can you play a bit of audio and have two people hear two separate things? Some people are wondering if the internet's messing with them, but I did this before, and I played it for some people, and some people honestly hear Yanny. I only hear Laurel. I'm going to play the clip for you, and I want you to listen for yourself. Okay, are you ready? Listen very carefully. What do you hear?
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay. Producer Ben, what do you hear? Have you listened to this yet? What do you hear? How do you hear two? You can only hear one. What do you hear? Which one do you hear? You hear the first syllable of Yanny, and you hear the rest of Laurel. No, I only hear Laurel. I don't even hear anything resembling Yanny. I don't get it, because I tried to process this in our audio editing in order to see if I could pull out the other side, and I still couldn't get it to work. So when you listen to this clip, what are you hearing? If you're still up, text me. See, Clavin says he hears Laurel. That's what I hear Laurel too. There was one person that called in earlier and said they heard Yanny, and they meant it honestly. At first he said, I think it's a left-handed, right-handed thing, left brain, right brain, or whatever. No, it wasn't that either. So when they did a quick survey, they found about 60% hear Laurel, 40% hear Yanny. So a little bit more people hear Laurel than Yanny, which to me is absolutely crazy, because it's confusing a lot of people because they don't even hear the other side, like myself. Some people are convinced that the internet's just trolling them. Some people say it's nonsense. Some people say, hey, at least we're talking about this and not something more serious. So give it a break. At least you had a little break from it all. See, here's another text message. Ryan, I hear Laurel. That's all I hear. Only one person called in with Yanny earlier, so this is what's going on and why some people hear it and others. Apparently, it has to do with the pitch of the audio. Yanny is in a high pitch. Laurel is in a low pitch. I think just the way my ears are, maybe the way my hearing being damaged over, you know, I'm only 34, but the way that my hearing is, I guess, damaged in the sense maybe it's not like a terrible damage, but since I wear headphones all the time and I'm in radio stations, and it's very common for radio people to lose their hearing, because they have these headphones on all the time and they got audio coming so close into it. Yeah, maybe it has to do something like that. Just poor hearing. You're getting old. So most people certainly hear Laurel. Feel free to fight about it yourself. I'm going to play it one more time. Listen very carefully.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
No. All I hear is Laurel. You only heard Laurel that time, Ben? Yeah, it's only Laurel. I would love to hear both sides of things, but I just can't. I just can't. So there's that. Oh, one other story. I might as well bring this up. This was kind of, it's kind of sad, actually. It's a terrible situation we're in, but federal lawsuit is accusing Obama Center organizers of pulling an institutional bait and switch. This is from the Chicago Tribune. So what they do after a president leaves the office, they create the presidential library, right? So normally it's in their hometown. So depending on where the library is built, they build this thing and they normally do like a recreation of the White House. And they're really cool to go visit if you ever get a chance to visit one. But a federal lawsuit filed by a Chicago nonprofit in an attempt to block the Obama Presidential Center from building in Jackson Park accuses organizers of pulling an institutional bait and switch. So Protect Our Parks, Inc. claim in a lawsuit that the Chicago Park District and the city of Chicago didn't have the authority to transfer public parkland to non-governmental entities such as the Obama Foundation. So they're looking at this as a way of donating taxpayer land. Donating government land without any value coming back to them in order for them to build a presidential library. Now, if it was only a presidential library I think it would stop there. But they're putting like a gym in there, and they're putting like a kids center, and they're doing, so basically they're making like a recreational center that is attached to this presidential library. I think if it was just a presidential library, it'd be a different story. But all of these other things attached to it, they're like, okay, so you're going to add all these other things into it. You're going to let it be owned by this nonprofit that is the, you know, the Obama Presidential Center. We're going to just hand it over to this group. We're not going to get anything exchanged for it. And instead of them building a library, which they should be doing, you're going to tack all these other things onto it, which they can profit from. Maybe that's a little fishy. But then again, they got to build a library somewhere. The plaintiffs accused the Obamas of committing an about-face on original plans to be just the National Presidential Library, which would hold historic documents and archives from President Obama's presidency. Wouldn't that be nice if they found some of those? You know, he wasn't the most transparent president of them all. In fact, he claimed to be, but he was really one of the worst. I wonder what kind of documents are they going to show there. Friends of the Parks have opted against taking action against the Obama Center for legal and financial reasons, but also because of the political challenges. When you're up against the Obamas, it's not necessarily the easiest thing for you to do. So I guess that lawsuit, we'll see how that rolls out, but maybe delays this a little bit. It's kind of funny. If it was just a presidential library, no one would be having a problem with this. I mean, it's a nice addition to have in your community. It's a really cool thing to have there. You know, it'll attract a lot of visitors. But come on. I mean, to say we're going to take this one idea and what the tradition is for it, as soon as you get the public land and the okay for them to hand it over, which I'm got to assume if it's in Chicago, it's valuable. And it's not something that's super cheap, because I've watched enough House Hunters to realize land don't come cheap there. It comes at a premium. So when they say we're going to take this big plot of land and we're going to do all these other things with it, and it's not going to be controlled by the government, of course it's going to be controlled by the people we're giving the land to. In this case, the Obama Presidential Center. It's a little bit of a bait and switch. The Obama Foundation, I should say. The Obama Foundation. Hopefully they can work it out. You know, hopefully they can figure it out, because they got to build it. You don't want to drive away this library. It's kind of a cool thing to have. But then again, is anything inappropriate anymore? At least there's someone still watching out for your tax dollar money. All right, that does it for Overnight America. You know, you can listen to the podcast. You go to KMOX.com and just look for us in the on-demand section. You can listen to all the programs here. I'll be back again later tonight. Looking forward to the Cardinals hopefully turning things around and getting a win. They get a day game in there. And lucky for them, it's up in Minnesota, so they don't have to really worry about it being here with the storms that are coming through. We saw the storms coming through here a little bit earlier today. But I'll be back again tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, regular start time. And then also KMOX.com. If you want to stream on there, you can do it there. And if you want to email me, ryan.recker@KMOX.com. It's kind of weird the way this text messaging works sometimes. Sometimes we get a lot of text messages, and I'll see some that came through after the fact or way after the fact because they got buried by other text messages. But I do look at all those messages that come in. I always enjoy seeing them. The text number is the same as the call-in number, so keep that in mind next time you listen, and we can keep the conversations going that way. Or if you just want to message me on Twitter, Twitter's fun, at Ryan Recker. Enjoy the rest of your night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.